And good morning and welcome to Talking Money. This is Certified Financial Planner Mike Miller, your host for today. Coming up on the wrapping up 11 years of doing Talking Money. Doesn't seem like it could have been possibly that long to go 11 years, but it's been a good ride and plan on doing it. And who knows how much longer, but I enjoy it. I enjoy getting the questions from you, the listeners, because we want to make sure that I answer questions that you are the most interested in hearing about. There's so much out there, and I get a kick out of hearing some people say how much misinformation out there in the middle of them giving misinformation. So you got to be careful who you trust. So today we're going to be spending some time learning about at least what I feel are the right ways to find a financial advisor. There's been several articles in Investors Business Daily and the Wall Street Journal this year over the last several months talking about that. Locating the right advisor depends on your questions. One says insights on advisors. Another one says here are top pros tips on finding the right advisor. So these are not necessarily my comments, but they are some good questions and things I think that you need to pay attention to, because obviously, you know, plan first and our team can't and won't be able to work with everyone. We're not going to be a good fit for everyone. One of the things that I'll caution you about later is working with an advisor who feels like he or she is a good fit for everyone, or they just sell a one product or two products and that is what they sell to everyone. And that can't possibly be the right answer for everyone, but somehow they get that square peg in that round hole, or they try to fit it every time. So we're going to be talking about some of those things. Did want to follow up with one last housekeeping from last week. So we had a question from a listener last week. We were talking about financial aid. And Allison Sullivan and Diana O'Brien were my guests. And I failed to recognize and thank Burke Cron. He's a good friend of mine who is also the producer here at the station years ago when I first started Talking Money. One of two producers. He and Jeff Gaines were the two that were sitting where Paul is sitting right now and manning the phones and hitting the right buttons most of the time and doing those kinds of things. And so Allison and Diana were here to talk about financial aid. And one of the questions that a listener had was about a senior and having a where can you get your, like, his bucket list was getting his degree, and what are some ways to get that? Well, one of my clients was listening, and she emailed me and gave me some websites and talked about where you can get information about getting free tuition. So there's I'm looking at a Clemson student financial aid form, and the heading is free tuition application for senior citizens. And so I think it's above 60, I think is what they call senior citizens here. Yes, residents age 60 and above. This is one of the pieces from the South Carolina websites. Residents 60 and above can attend classes at state schools on a credit or non-credit basis, pending space available, for free. The school must grant admission via its normal procedures. Technology, lab, and other fees are the responsibility of the student. So the website that she sent to me, this is Clemson's, is clemson.edu/financial-aid/documents/senior_citizens. I think you can just go to Clemson EDU looking for financial aid and search in there for the one that is for senior citizens. But apparently the South Carolina does, the code of laws as amended waives tuition fees for eligible senior citizens. So if you've got a school that's close to you that you want to attend, I'd certainly check into, if you're 16 above, getting some free tuition and possibly getting your degree that way, maybe fulfilling that bucket list that you have. Okay, so we're going to talk about financial planning and how to find a financial advisor, but we've already got a caller here that's calling from Tigerville. Let's see. This looks like, well, I can't get my mouse to work here. There we go. Okay. Lou, good morning. Welcome to Talking Money.
Hi, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. You doing okay?
Okay. I just happened to pick up your show, and I thought I'd ask you a question on reverse mortgages. Are they a good idea, or is there somebody that you know that's a a planner that can walk you through it, or is it a bad idea?
Okay, well, let me give you my general idea of it. They've improved a lot over the last 5 years or so, and some new requirements that have lowered the cost of getting them. But they're still very expensive. So relative to regular mortgages, they're very expensive. So I still, even though I know some advisors say it doesn't need to be a last resort and you can go ahead and set up a line of credit through a reverse mortgage, so it's there if you need to. To me, it's an expensive way to get it if you don't need it. So I think unless, Lou, that you're in a situation where you feel like the other monies that you have, so what you regularly get from Social Security, maybe a pension plan or something, and what you have in your investments and savings, if you really feel like that's not going to last and you definitely don't want to sell your home to downsize or right size to get free up the equity that you might have that way, which is a less expensive way to do it in a number of reasons. One, because it's obviously a less expensive house that to buy. And then if it's a smaller house, it's also going to be less expensive to maintain typically. If those assets you just don't feel aren't going to last, then I think a reverse mortgage would be something to consider. Mm-hmm. And there are just a few people that can handle those reverse mortgages. I don't have the names right off. So if you would, if you want the names of some people that you can at least look into to find prices, go ahead and send me an email. Send it to info@planfirst.com. Mm-hmm. Or even send a text here, and I'll get your information from the station, and we can get back to you with some names. But generally speaking, I wouldn't use a reverse mortgage unless it just was something I really was my last resort, and I was pretty desperate and thought I was going to need some cash, and I didn't want to move out of my house.
Well, okay. Hey, I really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Okay, Lou, thanks for the call. Take care. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, so get that. Good. All right. So we figured that one out. I got two monitors over here, and I was moving my mouse on one and wondering why the mouse wasn't moving on that screen. And well, it was on the screen on the other side, not on this side. So we got that. So yes, we're here to answer those kinds of questions. That's not the topic of the day, du jour, but we'll still answer those questions. 877-235-9405. You can text me a question or you can give us a call. Even better, give us a call. We'd love to get you on the air. It's easy. It's not frightening at all. Although I understand that, even when I've called some of the national shows, as much as I'm on the radio, I still get a little butterfly in my stomach when they're about to get me on the air. You want to make sure you sound okay. Don't worry about that. We'll just get you on, and we'll have you ask your question. Or if you're really bashful, send a text that number, 877-235-9405, or you can just call and talk to Paul, and he'll be glad to take the question down, and he'll pass it on to me. Either way works. So, picking a financial advisor, it's a little bit of a different subject, kind of a conflict of interest, you would think, for me as a financial advisor to talk to you about how to pick one, because an easy question, just call Plan First and you're done. But I know that's not the case, and I know that there are a lot of people who are not going to be a good fit. They don't necessarily need the comprehensive approach that we use. A lot of people do and don't use it and think they don't need it because they don't know what they don't know. But the article that was in Investment Business Daily back in January, it was called Locating the Right Advisor Depends on Your Question. So I saved the article. I thought, well, I might want to cover this sometime. The article starts off with the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics says that there are about 250,000 financial advisors, personal financial advisors. So 250,000, how do you find the one that's right for you? So you talk about finding Mr. and Mrs. Right when you're dating someone. It's not quite the same when you're finding a financial advisor, but certainly when you're going to bare your soul, as you should with a financial advisor, if they're going to really answer your questions, plan correctly for you, and they're going to be able to help you the best they can, they need to understand your situations. I did have a client some years ago that we were trying to find out more information about the estate planning, asked for documents. This was such a rare thing. I didn't even think about this person not even wanting to pass on those documents. So they didn't want to give us those documents. They said, no, we're not going to give them to you. So when you have a situation like that, it wasn't a good fit long-term relationship for us. to have somebody that wouldn't share those documents with us, because we need to know that, one, to help you plan for it to begin with, and number two, if something happens to you and somebody contacts us to follow up on your estate, we want to make sure we know who's supposed to be doing that, and we want to make sure the money gets dispersed to the right person or the right entity, whatever it is. So how do you find this financial planner? So do you just ask a friend? Do you ask other people that you know, other professionals, attorneys, CPAs? Those are all some good potential options, but we've got a lot of different things that you should talk about, how the person is compensated, what are their credentials, how they determine their portfolio, a lot of different things that you should look into when you're trying to consider who that financial advisor would be for you. But we'll get with that just after the break. But if you got a question or comment, 877-235-9405. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. If you have listened to Talking Money for any length of time, you realize that I'm trying to educate, not sell, any products. Unfortunately, so many financial shows are just that, shows. They're trying their best to discourage and even scare listeners in hopes that you'll make an appointment to visit with them, and that's when the real selling begins. Plan First sponsors this program with the primary purpose of giving you some real, actionable ideas that we think will help you maximize your financial opportunities, but with no hidden agenda, because we're not trying to sell anything. Of course, we always welcome the opportunity to visit with you if you think that the services we perform for our clients would benefit you. Our process is pretty straightforward. You simply call the Plan First offices. Our number is 800-588-7526. And tell Andrea or Tracy that you would like to speak with me, Mike Miller, or one of our other advisors. Now, you can see all of our advisory team on the Plan First website, which is at planfirst.com. Another easy way of starting the conversation is to simply send an email to info@planfirst.com. Our first goal is to find out enough information about your current situation and your objectives to determine if it makes sense for us to even meet. If so, we'll set up a convenient time for you to meet with me and several other advisors that I think would work best with you. That's based on our conversation that we had on the phone. At the initial meeting, we want to learn as much as we can about your expectations. The next step, assuming we both feel comfortable moving forward, is to send you a link to a risk profile questionnaire. Now, if you complete that questionnaire, we'll assume you're comfortable coming back for at least the next meeting. When we meet the second time, we'll answer any questions that you thought of since our first meeting, because oftentimes we think of questions we should have asked after we leave a meeting, and then we'll review the risk assessment together. Now, at this point, we'll let you know if we think we are a good fit and we think we can meet your expectations. And this is where people think the hard sell begins. But don't worry. If you're not ready to make that decision, we will literally leave you alone until you get back to us. That doesn't mean that we don't want you as a client. We want the decision to be well thought and deliberate. We think this is one of the reasons that the vast majority of clients that come to Plan First stay at Plan First. And the phone number for Plan First, once again, is 1-800-588-7526, or email us at info@planfirst.com. And welcome back to Talking Money. We're here to answer your questions. 877-235-9405 is our text line or our phone line if you got a question. We're talking about how to find, locate the right financial advisor for you. But right now we've got a question that's coming in from Avery, who's calling us from Hendersonville. Good morning, Avery.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you this morning?
Well, just heard your program, and okay, it piqued my interest again, because I've tried to do this in the past, and like your program stated, I've listened to it in the past too, and I've had unsuccessful attempts of trying to find someone that would fit the bill for my particular situation.
Okay, so what's your question today? What can I help you with?
Well, I guess my question would be that I'm looking to try to find a financial advisor that I guess would start from a zero, because I guess most people come to you with already something, but we'd be starting, I think, from scratch pretty much, and just wanted an idea what would be some of the things you'd look for in a financial advisor, and maybe and that's the thing, is that okay, I'm not diverse enough to really know what I need. What
sure,
I do need is
sure,
to know that my current income and current way I'm making this money is something that I have enough now to where I can stop. But not sure how to stop, like with making sure that I'm covered, so to speak, for the long term.
Okay, make sure you have enough. That was one of the questions. Make sure you're saving enough, that you have enough when you decide to retire. How old are you now, Avery?
I'm 48.
48. So you got the number of years to go till you would stop working. And so I think other than going
well,
to
I don't,
the...
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I don't, that's not, no, I don't, I look at life expectancy. No, I mean, as far as I understand, as long as you have enough money, you can stop. And I don't live large, so I'm was going to stop last year, but I am kind of a workaholic. I'd probably still tinker, but not to the level that I'm doing now.
Okay, so you're ready to kind of back off right now, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. And, but yeah. I don't know exactly the best way to do it or if it's, you know, I need someone to say, oh, no, Monty, you know, we're near where you think you're at. And here, this Avery's over here, you know, just kind of wanted to run it past someone okay. with experience that could say, you know what, this is where you're at or this is where you should be or maybe this is what I do in your shoes.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you need what would be best. And, of course, I don't know how is your money currently invested? Do you have money in IRAs and 401ks or things like that?
No, zero. That's what I mean. I'm self-employed.
Okay.
And, own a small company and just what it is this always just ran in the black because I didn't do credit and all that and I never used it. But during the downturn, the houses were so cheap and my company was doing so well, we just started picking them up for pennies on the dollar.
Okay.
And then I rehabbed them and, now they're worth considerable more than what I got in them. And I'm thinking that, the rent income alone is sufficient, but at the same time, I thought I should diversify. Well, I don't like to have all my eggs in one basket. So
sure.
all my eggs
sure.
would be in these, homes that I own.
Okay. Well, I've got a suggestion for you, I think, because you live up in Hendersonville, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Is that where you are?
Okay.
I know a gentleman up there and I can get his contact information for you. His name is Bob Blanky, but he's a certified financial planner that does hourly work. So he sits down with people and he doesn't sell any products or anything like that. He just charges you by the hour for doing whatever kind of analysis, tax analysis, retirement analysis, whatever you need for that. So I think he'd be a good person for you at least to reach out to and have a phone conversation with to see if that's somebody that you may want to, have a further relationship with. So I'll tell you the same thing I told Lou. So if you want to get some of that information, if you will send an email to me and you can go and send it to info@planfirst.com and then just address it to me. You can send it to mmiller@planfirst.com too. That'll go directly to me, but info is a little easier to remember. info@planfirst.com. That'll come to me too. And just say, talk to you on the radio Saturday. Would like to know the name of a planner up in my area that can help me. That's not trying to sell me anything. And I think, Bob could do that for you and do it for a pretty good price. Cause it sounds like the kinds of assets that you have being in real estate and other things like that, that you definitely could use some tax money.
Yeah.
You need some tax planning there that I think he could certainly help you with.
Well, I have a CPA that does that for us. She does all that. She even tried to put me with hers before. And, but when I met him, it was like you said, the guy had certain things he couldn't fully explain because I'm one of those guys like to fully understand what I'm getting into.
Sure.
And he just was a little elusive, and so I just told him in plain English that didn't feel good about it.
That's
and
smart.
Never heard from him again.
That's smart. That's a good way to look at it, Avery. Don't mind, and that's a good reminder for the listeners. I mean, we in the South tend to just always want to be nice to everybody. You can be nice and still sell somebody. Look, I just don't think we're a good fit. So that sounds like what you hit up there. So Avery, send me that email and I'll get you his contact information and we'll go from there.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Thanks for the call. Take care. Have a good weekend.
Goodbye.
Okay. So the good question, and depending on where you are, it might depend on what I might recommend for you to do. And like I said, not everybody's a good fit for Plan First and what we do. And Avery's situation certainly sounded, unique. And so where he needs some, and a tax preparer, CPA can, typically they'll do a lot of the tax work, the prep work and the actual filling out the forms and things like that, but not necessarily get down deep as a financial advisor could in the overall planning and where you should put that money and do you have enough and is it time to quit working and to maybe caution you about some other things that might happen when you try to sell that real estate. And if you've been taking depreciation off that real estate and you have to recapture that depreciation and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to have to pay no more than 15% in capital, long-term capital gains when you realize I've got to recapture that. And now I'm talking 20%. 25% taxes on the recapture of that depreciation. And it seemed like free money at the time, but it's not, those kinds of things the CPA could help you with, but they may not even think to ask those questions because it's a future kind of event that might happen that you need to be trying to think of and be aware of. That was a good comment that he had about talking to the CPA, referred him to somebody, to their person. Another good caution, just because another professional, whether it's an attorney, an accountant, just because they refer, there's accountants especially are getting more and more into financial planning business where they are splitting commissions with quote-unquote advisors. So you've got to understand that hidden agenda there. They're thinking and reaching out for different revenue sources. So I definitely prefer CPAs who stay CPAs. They do what they're supposed to do, and there's not that conflict. They're not trying to cross-sell to something else. And you know the recommendation you're getting is good advice for you, not because they're going to split the commissions with somebody else. Now, if it's a fee advisor they refer somebody to, and there still may be some split commissions. We don't split fees. We don't have anybody like that, but there could be somebody that does that. That'd be a little better, but there's that concern that they're referring to this person just because they split the fees, not because that's necessarily best advisor for you. So typically you want to get that name from somebody. We typically get the prospective client names that call us from somebody who's listened to Talking Money since I've been doing it for so long. And of course, that's a way to get to know us over some period of time. It's different than just calling up somebody out of a phone book, or well, I guess we don't even look at the phone books anymore. The yellow pages online and where you pick names of advisors. And you don't really know them. And this way, at least you get to know us. And many people come because they're referred to us by our clients. We get quite a few that way, which is always a really good compliment when we get those kinds of calls. And then for the workshops that we do. So I've taught workshops for years, and now several other advisors in our office have been speaking with groups at Michelin and Milliken, and people get to know us from those particular venues. I'll be speaking Monday afternoon to the Greenville Library. So they have staff meetings, and I'll be speaking to a couple of groups there Monday afternoon. So we're always available to speak to your groups. And many times it's for no fee. If it's something that we don't have to do a lot of prep for, we'll be glad to speak to your group. You just give us a email or give us a call. And our number, 233-7405, is the local number if you're in 864. 800-588-7526 is the toll-free number to the office, or info@planfirst.com. And just inquire, say, I'd like to consider having you guys speak on some particular subject, whether it's taxes, estate planning, Social Security, whatever it is. We can probably help you out with that. So we'll get back after the break. We'll continue our discussion about how to find the right advisor, how to ask the right questions, what kind of questions to ask. We'll be doing that. 877-235-9405. Text or call us, and we'll be right back. Plan First is excited to sponsor Talking Money, now in its 11th year of broadcasting. I believe Plan First is unique in the financial services profession for a couple of reasons. The level of education and experience of the Plan First team makes us specially qualified to provide the level of financial planning I think so many people need. Our goal is to utilize every technique and planning tool that's available to help you pay as little in taxes as possible. I'm sure you like that. Develop an estate plan that not only minimizes estate and the gift taxes, but more importantly, I think it maximizes the effective transfer of the estate to the next generation, or maybe you prefer having some of it go to a ministry. We want to help create and implement a retirement income strategy. We also want to construct a portfolio that's going to satisfy your income needs, but we want to do it within that risk level with which you are comfortable. Now, to help avoid the obvious conflicts of interest that so many brokers and other, quote, financial advisors, unquote, who represent their company, not you, Plan First operates as a true fee-only, and we don't want to be confused with a fee-based firm. We have no commissions, no kickbacks, or no fee splits. We never receive any of that. Our only compensation is very transparent, and based on what I've seen, very competitive. It's a fee that's deducted right from your account each quarter. As a true fiduciary, Plan First works for you. If you'd like to know more, or if you think this is something worth checking out, please call Plan First at 1-800-588-7526 to speak with me, Mike Miller, or one of our advisors. Of course, you can always simply check us out at planfirst.com. Now back to Talking Money. And we are back with Talking Money. This is Certified Financial Planner Mike Miller, your host for today. We're talking about finding the right advisor for you. So we had a couple of good questions from some listeners, and we want to get your questions in as well. 877-235-9405. Text us or give us a call. We'll be glad to get you on the air and find out what your question is, or if you've got an experience that you've had with a quote-unquote financial advisor, and you want to share that with the rest of us. You don't need to give names, but you can at least say, hey, watch out for somebody who does X, because I fell for that, and I shouldn't have. We'd love to learn from your mistakes, of course, so we don't repeat them ourselves. So one of the things that most advisors will do, if you find the name, you get that person from, and I was talking about before the break, about where we get our typical names for clients and who calls us. And so, of course, clients do, and then the radio, and then the workshops that we've taught over the years, that we've just, our name's just been out there for so long, been doing this for over 30 years. So it that hopefully is a good sign also that we're still here after 30 years and we haven't been put out of business and don't have any complaints on the SEC websites and the Better Business Bureau, and we're A++ or whatever it is the top rating is for the BBB. And so those are some places that you can look to. We'll talk about those in just a minute. But you want to have an initial meeting. We offer one. Most advisors do, I think, for no cost. Just a sit down, get to know you type meeting, see if you're a good fit. But you want to make sure that that when you go in there, it's not a matter of as soon as you walk in the door or sit down, maybe there's a few pleasantries that they ask, but then they start essentially selling you on what they do, how they do it, what their process is, what their investment returns are, whatever else that they propose to offer to do for you. This meeting should be a true get to know you meeting where you're able to ask questions. You're able to, they should be asking you things like, well, what is important to you? What did you come here for? What do you think you need the most help with? Cause we need to find out what your needs are, what your wishes are, what your deficiencies are, where you need the most help before we can really determine whether or not we're a good fit. And there should be as many questions back to you as you ask the advisor. Now, a lot of the prospective clients that we talk to don't really realize we are interviewing them as well as they are interviewing us, but we're asking some questions to find out what their expectations are, what their experiences have been in the past with the financial advisors or other professionals. Have they had bad experiences, and what were those bad experiences? And so we are asking questions to really just uncover those kinds of things. So that's the first thing. Should be a free meeting, hour, maybe hour and a half is what we typically spend, and this is part of our marketing. We're gonna offer a free session because we think it's worth it to do that, to make sure we should even pursue having the next meeting. We've had people, especially radio listeners or people referred to us by really good clients, that want to become clients as soon as they walk in the door. But we're not going to let you do that. So we're going to make sure that we spend enough time uncovering the things we need to uncover about you to determine whether or not we really think you're going to be a good fit. So it's going to take at least the second meeting after we've had you done a risk profile and we ask more questions about that. There again, trying to find out what your expectations are. Do we think we can meet them? Do we think that the fee we charge is going to be worth it in your case? Because obviously that's what we want, to have a good long-term relationship. The advisor you work with should give you enough value added for that fee that you don't feel like it's a dredge to pay that. You really feel like you're getting good benefit, or that you will eventually. So in our case, where we do so much work up front, making sure the estate planning is in order, doing the annual tax planning, doing the insurance planning, long-term care planning, all the things that we do for a client up front, then there may not be something we do that's really time intensive for 2 or 3 years, or when one of the spouses passes away. So another important thing is, well, so what happens once one of us goes? What do you guys provide in the way of service? Do you help us with probate? Do you help us with contacting all the beneficiaries? Do you help us with contacting the insurance company? What kinds of things do you do at that point in time? This one article talks about, this is the one that was Investors Business Daily earlier this year that Donald Corn wrote, and he lists a website that Charles Schwab created called findyourindependentadvisor.com/choosinganadvisor. And so that, and that includes questions. So it has some questions there that you not, that you can necessarily use that to find an advisor, because obviously it's going to be a Charles Schwab advisor, which we are, but it's still, you're limiting yourself to that if you want to expand your horizon. But it does give you some good questions. And one of the first questions is, what are your credentials? So there are a lot of financial advisors out there that don't have credentials, or I've seen credentials that I've never heard of. And I wonder, how in the world did you get that credential? So it's maybe a test they took online. It was one test, maybe two tests. They went to a course and they got this thing. So the ones that are the most recognized in the financial planning area would be the Certified Financial Planner. That's the one that is really the one that sets the bar. This is where you, what you want to attain to. If you're another credential, you want to get there, because the number of tests you have to take and the amount of experience you have before they'll let you call yourself a certified financial planner, and then the ongoing continuing education credits that you have to maintain that certified financial planner. Then you have I always like to share that story when we had the estate planning, I think I may have mentioned it last week or two, had the estate planning council meetings, and these guys write in their CFP number, and they're 150,000 or they're 80 some thousand, and my number is 4806. I was signed up for the Financial Planning Association symposium that they're going to have at the end of next month, almost the end of this month, because this is close to October, but end of October. And I gave, there are three of us going, and I was signing up all three of us, and I gave two of the advisors names. I gave the lady down in Columbia the CFP numbers, and I gave her my number. And since she asked me again after she was through, said, now, did I hear you correctly? You said your number was 4806, because all those other numbers were so much longer. I wondered if you missed having a few numbers. I said, no, you didn't miss any numbers. Mine's just a short number that tells you how long I've had it. When you go back to 1985, 86, that's what the numbers were back then. There were fewer of us out there back then. Okay, so another thing you're looking for is if you need something, a specialty. So you have some particular estate issues, or you've got questions about Social Security. There's a lot of advisors that talk about Social Security. They use that as a loss leader to get you in the door. And all they're simply doing is running through a program to see when you should take it. There's a lot of other strategies. I hear one talk about the thousands of strategies that you might, I'm sure if you narrowed it down and got really deep in the weeds, and there probably would be if you count every month as a different, if it is a different strategy, but really there's only about half a dozen that you need to be concerned about than most people. But our firm understands the other specialty ones, so that, and we've had shows on that before. Eddie Holland from my office has come on a couple of times. We've got those on our website, so it's free. Go to planfirst.com, go to the Talking Money section, and scroll down to a part where you see the subject, Social Security, and you can listen to some, and you'll probably learn something, my guess is. So what is the financial advisor you're looking at? Do they specialize in something, or do they have a team like Plan First that has many specialists inside there? So if you need a particular advisor, particular resource, that you can get a hold of it. How are you compensated is another big area. It's getting to be a little muddier, really. It used to be that there were stockbrokers and people who worked at stock brokerage firms, and they sold mutual funds, or they made their money on buying and trading stocks. There's still a certain amount of that. But many of the firms are switching to a fee-based system where they're putting you into a particular product. It's many times a turnkey product where they just charge a flat fee on that. And so that's their way to get around this new Department of Labor fiduciary rule. They're starting to do more fee, and they're making it look like they're us. They're where they're a fee only shop. But just because somebody just charges a flat fee, and we've seen some pretty high fees, ours, based on what I see, is a very reasonable fee. And this is what, I guess I really appreciate about Plan First, is that we do so much and really for so little relative to what other firms charge. I've just done a lot of research on that, and I see that. But anyway, so fee only doesn't necessarily mean you're good, and fee only doesn't necessarily mean you're competent. Just like doctors, they're all fee only. Are there differences in one doctor versus another? Attorneys, fee only, same thing. Are there some attorneys that are better than others? CPAs, same thing, mostly fee only. So you've got all these different professions that are fee only. That would mean they're objective. This should mean they're more objective, but it doesn't mean they're good. it doesn't mean they're competent. So you still need to do your share of due diligence to find out if they really are qualified. Being quoted, having a radio show doesn't necessarily mean you're good. Now, one of the things that, you have an advantage to Talking Money is that it's on for a long time, and we've got all these archives, so you can check us out as much as you want to, and you can listen to, maybe to put you to sleep every night, any of the shows that you want to on our website or even on iTunes or through MikeMillerInsights.com, my personal website. All those have the Talking Money broadcasts on there, and you get a lot of free information. And you can find out whether or not, but even finding out, so okay, well, they sound like they know what they're doing. But that only means that they know more than you know. That doesn't necessarily really mean that they are good and as good as you need them to be. So getting referrals from, other high qualified tax attorneys or CPAs and people that really know what they're doing, especially if you get the name, same name from several people, that is probably a better indication that somebody that you want to, do business with. All right, we got a lot of other different things that you need to think about when considering how to find and locate the right financial advisor for you. We'll talk about those after the break. Of course, if you want to get in the program today with your question, we need to do it right away because we only have one segment left when we get back. 877-235-9405. Toll free, text or phone call. We'll be right back with more Talking Money. If you have listened to Talking Money for any length of time, you realize that I'm trying to educate, not sell any products. Unfortunately, so many financial shows are just that, shows. They're trying their best to discourage and even scare listeners in hopes that you'll make an appointment to visit with them, and that's when the real selling begins. PlanFirst sponsors this program with the primary purpose of giving you some real, actionable ideas that we think will help you maximize your financial opportunities, but with no hidden agenda, because we're not trying to sell anything. Of course, we always welcome the opportunity to visit with you if you think that the services we perform for our clients would benefit you. Our process is pretty straightforward. You simply call the Plan First offices. Our number is 800-588-7526. And tell Andrea or Tracy that you would like to speak with me, Mike Miller, or one of our other advisors. Now, you can see all of our advisory team on the Plan First website, which is at planfirst.com. Another easy way of starting the conversation is to simply send an email to info@planfirst.com. Our first goal is to find out enough information about your current situation and your objectives to determine if it makes sense for us to even meet. If so, we'll set up a convenient time for you to meet with me and several other advisors that I think would work best with you. That's based on our conversation that we had on the phone. At the initial meeting, we want to learn as much as we can about your expectations. The next step, assuming we both feel comfortable moving forward, is to send you a link to a risk profile questionnaire. Now, if you complete that questionnaire, we'll assume you're comfortable coming back for at least the next meeting. When we meet the second time, we'll answer any questions that you thought of since our first meeting, because oftentimes we think of questions we should have asked after we leave a meeting, and then we'll review the risk assessment together. Now, at this point, we'll let you know if we think we are a good fit and we think we can meet your expectations. And this is where people think the hard sell begins. But don't worry. If you're not ready to make that decision, we will literally leave you alone until you get back to us. That doesn't mean that we don't want you as a client. We want the decision to be well thought and deliberate. We think this is one of the reasons that the vast majority of clients that come to Plan First stay at Plan First. And the phone number for Plan First, once again, is 1-800-588-7526 or email us at info@planfirst.com. And we've got about 9 minutes left here today on Talking Money. Just a reminder for those of you who are listening to us on the Christian Talk 660, AM 660, 92.9 FM, that when I give that phone number, you can't call right now. You can, and Paul may be able to pick it up in that 11 o'clock hour, because you listen at 11 o'clock, and it's not a live show for you guys. Unfortunately, they can't do one live because there's nobody over there on Saturday mornings. But so we're here live at WGTK, but not live for you guys. But you do have a way to ask a question, so it won't be live answer, but we'll get it to you and get that answer to you. So you just send a question to info@planfirst.com or talkingmoney@planfirst.com. Either one of those gets to us, and we can get your question. Or you go to Talking Money web, the page on the Plan First website, and go to Talking Money, the microphone there, and click on Ask Mike a Question, and you can get that one directly to me as well. So a lot of ways to get questions to me, and I can reply on the air. I might even reply if you give me your contact information, assuming your email address is there, which is always good, so I can follow up with additional questions I may have for you to make sure we get the question answered correctly. So talking about before the break about being quoted or having a, hearing somebody on a radio show or even seeing somebody on TV. I've done a ton of work for Channel 4. I get very few calls from people who might have seen me there. I think clients like to see their advisor that's being quoted. The only time Channel 4 typically calls me is when there's a problem. So when Brexit happens, I think it was the biggest thing that happened. So when there's something negative going on, they call me for a comment. And when President Trump did his State of the Union, and they wanted to comment on that. They came to my house about 10 o'clock that night to get a comment for the 11 o'clock news. So I do a good bit of that. I've been doing that since almost as long as I've been doing financial planning. So 86, I think, was my first WYFF interview. I think it was probably WFBC at the time, going back that far, when Carol Goldsmith was Carol Anderson. So we go back a long way with them. But it's not the kind of thing that I want to spend a ton of time doing, because I could do more with that. I could give them, shoot them more ideas and probably get on more frequently, but that's not going to help my clients any. And so just being on TV or the news or whatever, it's not, or seeing somebody written in Forbes, Fortune, especially if it's just an ad. If you hear somebody says, oh yeah, you can see me in Forbes and Fortune. Well, yeah, it's just an ad. So you can see like these things that say as seen on TV. Well, yeah, they did an ad on TV, and they say, yes, yeah, it's not like it was more credible because you happen to see it on TV. Matter of fact, that might make it less credible. I don't know, being on TV. Other credentials, we talked about the Certified Financial Planner, the Certified Public Accountant, CPA, is very widely known and respected, but it's not a financial planning designation. So if somebody, just because they have a CPA, doesn't mean they do financial planning. We get referrals from CPAs because they don't do the full range of financial planning that we do. They can help with the tax planning. They can help with and many times, unfortunately, they don't even ask those kinds of questions to try to be proactive. This all they can do sometimes just to get the reporting done, that they don't have time, or clients don't approach them. Clients don't come to them when you could do something about it, like toward the end of the year when you can actually change something before the end of the year. They talk to you about it in April, and it's too late to do something unless it's a IRA contribution or a SEP or something like that. There's nothing you can do to help your taxes from the previous year. You got to see your CPA before that. If you add the personal financial specialist, that helps. So they've had a little more training in financial planning, not just CPA. So the CPA that wants to do more financial planning, personal financial planning, will get that PFS designation. We have several in our office that are CPAs that are also have that PFS designation, because we have quite a few certified financial planners in the office. And some of them also have the, like Malden has the accredited estate planner designation, the AAP. And these are all ones that you have to take a test. They're not as extensive as a CFP, but they're still, they'll specialize in this case, estate planning. Adam has the CAP designation. So that's the chartered advisor in philanthropy. He has a lot of interest and has done a lot of work with clients who have charitable remainder trusts and things like that. And so he's had a big interest in that. So he took some courses to specialize in that. And then, let's see, Justin got his chartered retirement planning counselor designation. And there's going to be more, there are more sessions to that, but at least has that initial designation. And a number of us have the certified kingdom advisor designation. That's a fairly new one. It takes quite a bit of work to get that designation. There are a series of studies, videos, and reports that you have to do to get that, but that's essentially gives you an idea of somebody who, especially if you want to have a financial advisor who is also a Christian and who will use basic Christian principles, or maybe even just understand why you may want to give money to a certain organization where a non-Christian advisor may not understand why you want to do that, because it makes us more fulfilled to help a client actually give money away to a good cause, even though that is going to be less money that we're going to be managing and we'll get fees on, but it still helps us to know better that we've actually helped the cause of Christ going forward, even while we're here on this earth, not just when somebody dies. Sacrificial giving is important to do. It's not sacrificial giving if it's only after you're gone and you don't need it anymore. That wasn't much of a sacrifice, but your family still needs it. So there's a fine line there between how much you give, but how much do you need to make sure you keep for yourself. And that's being a good steward as well. I have one client that if we weren't careful working with him, he'd try to give all of his money away, but very very successful, has made a lot of money, but it's still, we need to make sure his kids all want us to make sure that we help them maintain their current lifestyle. So another comment, I just made a list of some things somewhat randomly, but you may not even know what you don't. We don't, of course, we don't know what we don't know. And so we have an example. I have a new client that actually worked with another financial planning firm in town, did the tax returns for that financial planning firm, and came to see us once this person retired and is now a client of ours. When I was talking to this person about some of the tax planning things that we do, it was encouraging for them to hear this, because then they could tell that, okay, we do more than just we actually do the tax planning more so than the firm that they were just with. So I've heard people who come from other firms talk about how at Plan First that we are a mile deep. So many other firms are maybe an inch deep and a mile wide. So they cover the basic topics, a lot of different topics, but don't go very deep in it, whereas at Plan First, we go a mile deep, and that's one of the things that sets us apart. Careful about the commissions. It's going to be less of a problem, I think, but there are commissions that people get up front, especially if you're an insurance salesperson. You got upfront commissions. You got ongoing commissions. You've got commissions and fees that if you terminate, understand what those are all up front. Another thing to remember, investment planning isn't financial planning. So investment planning is important, but it's just a piece of financial planning. And that may be all you need. There's some good investment advisors here in town that we know. And if we run into them and have a client that has their portfolio, we can say, well, we know that's a decent portfolio. It's a competitive portfolio. But if you need financial planning too, then that's not the firm for you. You need somebody that does financial planning. So maybe you have a CPA or that's really good that does your financial planning, and you just need somebody good at investments. Well, then that's somebody to consider. Just don't overemphasize and key on just returns when you're evaluating a firm, because you want to make sure that the total picture, you want that to be competitive, but that's just one of the things that you should consider. And be careful when you're looking at returns, because we see too many brokers that will recommend a particular portfolio for a new client, and it's actually not a portfolio they've been using for clients all along. They just look at some investments that they see have good track records, and they show you those investments, and it looks like they're good. But you need to ask that question. Is this really a portfolio that you've used for clients, or is this one that you're just coming up with for me that nobody's used, and you're basing it just on past track record, past history? That's important as well. Okay, so that's all the time we have to cover this very important topic. More questions, of course, you can give me a call at the office, 800-588-7526. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week for more Talking Money.